I mean, we drive on Siren FM. Celebrate that Wednesday wonder with style!
Hooray, hurrah, and galoo-galay in every sense of the word. Tarina, it's your first official midweek drive because you've been obviously on the Inspired On Air series. You've been with us with your friend and colleague and buddy, Bookstart Bear. Uh-huh. But this is the first time you're actually here in the studio. Yes, I did say that, Cameron, Bookstart Bear. Yeah. I think this could be the start in getting Bookstart Bear internationalized. I think you could actually sort of head over to California and certainly to Nashville, and because that's what you need, isn't it, really? Define Bookstart Bear for people who might want to know, well, what happens if it's not the real Bookstart Bear and you have to get somebody to stand in for Bookstart Bear? What do you actually have to wear to be Bookstart Bear?
Well, Bookstart Bear is real. For starters,
I tried to fool you there, but
yeah.
Bookstart
that was
Bear
a test.
Is real.
We know it's real.
You know, we're not hallucinating here.
Yeah.
But yes, for anybody who doesn't know anything about Bookstart, the mascot for Bookstart, which is a national book gifting scheme for the 0 to 4s, is that he is a 6 foot. Blue furry bear with a white t-shirt on who's constantly waving, and he doesn't speak, which is quite nice, but he's lovely and all the children love him, so and he's a national hero for Bookstart.
National hero, Cameron.
It's nothing like a Smurf, is it? Because a Smurf looks like something a cat coughed up, but blue.
No, it's the same colour. But that's where the likeness ends, I think.
He's much
nicer. He's got a beautiful big smile. If you look up National Bookstart on the internet, you'll be able to see him. He's lovely.
All right.
Or you can always, I'll tag you, Cameron. I'll tag you in the Bookstart Bear studio photographs, and then
okay.
It can be sort of tagged on that side of things, which would be truly wonderful. But you brought us another little treat today, and it is Radio Day, as you rightly said, so a whole heap of fantastic things coming through from this. This is an ace musical selection. Tarina and Muzna are ready and waiting to be duly impressed and blown away by this launch. I mean, I always think, are we going to peak too soon with this particular one? I don't think we are. But bearing in mind, it is your selection, Cameron. Let's go with it.
Yeah, we're really excited about this song. We get excited about everything that we work, but this one has got, from the feedback we're getting from radio stations around the world, this is just something that little bit more special. We've worked with these guys before on different projects here in Nashville. I'll tell you about them. They're you may not know the names. But they've got tons of Billboard number ones to their credit as songwriters. They've written hits for Luke Bryan, Keith Urban, Tim McGraw, Toby Keith, Chrissy Yearwood, Montgomery Gentry, Gretchen Wilson, Trace Adkins, and more. The stuff they've written has had a combined sales of well over $20 million. And on the production side, they've worked with Justin Timberlake, Shakira, Jewel, P. Diddy, Emmylou Harris, Warren Zevon, Blake Shelton, just the list goes on and on and on. These two guys, Joe West and Jamie Tetchner, have started a group to do their own stuff. And it's called Lo-Fi. And they said, look, we're not a format. We're not country necessarily. We're not rock or pop necessarily. We're just doing lo-fi music. And they've got a brand new album out called Lo-Fidelity. And this is the first single from it. It features 20-time Grammy Award winner, Country Music Hall of Famer Vince Gill on guitar. I hope you like this a bunch. This is Lo-Fi and Vintage Heart on Siren FM.
To multitask. Not only did I actually manage to tune in to that wonderful tune, which, as you rightly said, Tarina, has got a slight smidgen of which particular Scottish band of the 1980s?
Delamitri,
yeah, very much so. Delamitri.
It's funny. People have been saying, I've heard comments like, a lot of stuff referring to the West Coast here in the U.S. I've heard Steely Dan, Eagles, Poco, Firefall. It's just got that really cool kind of West Coast breezy feel to it. And right, I can hear a little Delamitri. That's cool.
And I'm looking here because Muzna, bless her heart, being a consummate researcher par excellence, was saying, I can't find these guys on the web. Is it L-O-W? No, I've just pulled up their Facebook page where we see in the Lo-Fi official line a new single, Vintage Heart, being featured today on Siren 107.3 FM. That'll be us in Lincoln, England. Not Nebraska, we keep saying. Yep. It's Lincoln, England. From 5 p.m., which is, we've just heard it. And we'll play it, of course, again tomorrow, which is fantastic stuff there. So well done to Lo-Fi. But how did we rate it, Musna? What did you think of the tune?
I thought it was really relaxing. Uh-huh. It reminded me a little bit of, like, country music. It has a twang.
A twang.
And I find it very comforting. Reminds me of my childhood.
A comforting twang. You see, this is what we said, Cameron, from Muzza's first show. There's got to be a market for Maple Star Music and Media to exploit the Bangladeshi Australian country music folk.
There's so many of them. It's the biggest craze in Bangladesh is country music. And they love a hoedown in Bangladesh. They really do.
Yeah, country and Eastern.
Yeah, I see a whole new world opening up here for you, Cameron. And just in case people were wondering, what exactly was he actually multitasking? I was busy tagging both Cameron and yourself, Tarina, into the Bookstart photograph, so you've now been duly tagged. Musna, sadly, I can't because she has committed Facebook suicide.
I came back.
No!
I came back yesterday, Alex, for very valid reasons, not just to indulge my narcissism, obviously, which is what everyone wants to do on Facebook, but because I have to organise a friend's baby shower, and it's just impossible to do it
without,
in any other
social
medium.
Network. LinkedIn won't work? Instagram?
LinkedIn? I'm not on those things, though. They sound scary.
Oh, well, never mind. Have you got any questions you want to put to Cameron Tilbury, Tarina?
No, not at the moment.
Very good. I don't know if Cameron's near a computer, but he may be able to access Bookstart by now, and he may still know exactly who it's about.
A friend of mine recently went to Nashville, and he went to see Graceland. And I've never been myself, and I've always been quite interested because I had an uncle in Australia who was a massive Elvis fan. And something that really surprised me was that Elvis had a squash court in his house. I never, ever thought of Elvis as being a squash,
squash. He had a TV in his bathroom, you know.
And lots of people do, but a squash court, it's just like, you know, it's a real...
Graceland is about, through Memphis, Graceland's in Memphis, that's about a 3-hour drive west of Nashville.
Right.
Actually, we'll be going through there tonight, not Graceland, but Memphis. We're on our way to Texas tonight.
Cool.
It's a short drive away.
That's like the whole of our country.
Yeah, well, I like the way you actually refer to it as our country, like the Midweek Drive runs Britain, which is important.
It is. It'd be so much better if we did. Yeah. I mean, I've only just met you, but I've got a good feeling about you. We'd have good political chemistry.
The casting is sorted out. That's the important thing. A little heads up to tomorrow morning. We're hopefully going live to San Diego to actually access the San Diego Comic Con. One of our correspondents, Richard Edwards, is over there. But that's tomorrow. Still to come today, Anna Lewis from Jersey, Sarah Gayton from... somewhere in Derbyshire, and we'll also be finding out about oral hygiene with the interestingly entitled Dr. Harold Katz, who apparently in his official California practice, it's just about 50 yards away from the studios of 20th Century Fox. Awesome. But, Musna, can you remember the last two questions that you'd like to put to our lo-fi bringing soul today? Cameron Tilbury.
Yes. First question is, did you have a good telephonic connection?
Yeah.
That wasn't as colorful as I'd like, but did you have a good? Do we have a good chat today? Did we?
Yeah, you made that just sound so off the cuff, unrehearsed.
Yeah, I know. Must work on improv skills.
That's right.
And also, would you come back again?
Yes, and yes.
Yay.
And remember, sincerity is the best thing to be able to fake.
Okay. Love is in the air. Everywhere I look, love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
And taking selfies no less, hashtag selfie, from sunny beaches with your daughter as well, Anna. What's happening there?
Yeah, she only came over for a few days, and the weather was diabolical until that day we took the photos, until yesterday. But it was the first time I've been on that beach where we had an ice cream And no seagull came to steal it away. So it was quite an epic day.
That, Anna Lewis, is because seagulls in Jersey recognise that you are now one of the Midweek Drive's top Jersey correspondents. In fact, the only Jersey correspondent for Siren 107.3 FM. And therefore, you necessitate that level of quality and respect that otherwise seagulls wouldn't have. Have you ever had a seagull sneeze any of a seagull seize any of your food, Master?
I haven't.
No.
It would enrage me.
In Australia? In Bangladesh?
No.
I have. Tareen, you have. In Skegness?
No. St Ives, Cornwall.
Well, they are known for being hard seagulls in St Ives.
They are.
They're waiting for me around the corner with a baseball bat.
It's not for nothing. Daphne du Maurier, you know, put that whole sort of birds thing together, really. You know, Hitchcock and everything
it's
else.
Scary. They're big birds.
Well, seagulls can be absolutely ginormous.
Yeah.
Although Jonathan Livingstone is quite a nice chap. I mean, he flies into another whole routine. Jonathan Livingstone Seagull.
Who's that?
You have never encountered Jonathan Livingstone Seagull?
What?
It's outrageous.
Who's that?
Probably the best book you could ever wish. Richard Bach, written by Richard Bach. The book Jonathan Livingstone Seagull. Anna Lewis, you must have heard of Jonathan Livingstone Seagull.
I have. I'm sure it's one of those iconic sort of books of the 70s and 80s.
Iconic. It's life-changing. It's life-affirming. Use that mobile device you're so fond of, Muzza.
Alex, you really need to stop revealing myself to be terrible at literature every time I come on air. It's not doing anything for my academic credibility. Every time it's like, do you know this? No. I only have a PhD in literature. Don't talk to me about books. I know nothing about books.
But you'd be pleased. As you can tell, Anna, Muzza is one of the new generation of PhD graduates. It's fantastic. They do away with the traditional paper stuff. And it's all online. On a slightly serious note, because Muzza, you're quite interested in food, are you not? Food
and
literature.
I'm a foodie. Yeah. Food and literature is my game.
So there we are. There's your little challenge, Anna Lewis. Food and literature. I mean, apart from Peter Greenaway and The Thief, The Book, The Cook and His Lover, or various variations on that theme, food and literature, is that something that floats your boat in the library services of Jersey?
Yes, we do have. It's strange, actually, because we have a small collection of books on Channel Island food, and there's some very wacky recipes like bean crock, which is a kind of recipe that you have to cook for several hours. Anyway, we bought this really nice cookery book that was a local one, and some customer who came into the library ripped a page out with a recipe on it.
Yeah, as they do in Jersey. You know,
we were living. We've got photocopiers. Why didn't they use a photocopier instead of actually ripping
paper? They didn't understand how the photocopier worked. How often, Tareena, in Lincolnshire libraries, and I know we said we're not going to talk about this, but surely, you know, we've got Anna, a librarian in Jersey, you know, Lincolnshire, do they go around? I mean, if they're not closed, obviously they get in there. You would have thought they might at least kind of use a photocopier to photocopy. You don't just say, well, that's a nice recipe. I'll just rip that out of the book.
But people do. And children's books as well.
No.
Yeah, they rip out the nice pictures and the little pop-up bits and stuff.
If you know a child, I think it's fair to say we should have an amnesty on people actually sort of ripping pages out of library books and make sure that you don't do it, because it's just not on. It's ruining the book.
But in Jersey, obviously, the library goers are just like the seagulls, hard as nails.
Ripping things out.
Yeah, they don't care. They're just going to do it anyway.
A bit like a chippy.
That could be a useful poster you could incorporate into your libraries in Jersey, Anna. Are you a seagull? No. Don't rip the pages out of the book.
Exactly.
No seagulls allowed.
No.
But there is, actually, can I just say this? There are certain areas in Jersey where tourists are not kind of encouraged to encourage seagulls by throwing bread and things at them, but there's this amazing one where you've got a nice photo and it's sharp of a seagull with a line going through it. But, you know, it's not really about people, it's about the seagulls. Do they actually understand the signs that means they're not going to get any food out of this area?
Well, if they've read Jonathan Livingstone Seagull, obviously they would have done, really.
Yes. I think the upmarket ones.
Maybe they ripped the page out of the book, read it, practiced, and then went off and read the signs.
She's seeing connections everywhere, and I'm inclined to believe her. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
It's totally related.
Well, it is.
Yeah. It is.
That's the Critical Liar thing. Who would have thought when we actually launched this particular production in another dimension, we'd actually end up talking about seagulls and how they can read signs or not, as the case may be. It's a way forward, certainly. Yeah, we must sort of raise that for future sort of developments and debates. Forget heroes and heroines. Talk about seagulls and signs. Anything else been happening this week in Jersey you wish to share with us, Anna?
Yeah, we have. Well, it's a strange one. We have one ferry company. We're very lucky to have one. And they were transporting a fairground outfit for Jersey. There's a sort of summer fair. And the actual boat hit the seabed and has had to go off for repair. And it's really disrupted the tourism industry because all these people that were hoping to come over can't. But also it's delayed all the equipment for the fairground to come over because there ain't no ship to bring it over. So, amazing how you depend on the sea.
And that, Tarina, is why whenever we think we've got it tough in Lincolnshire, think about those Jersey folk, and if the ship runs aground...
That's it. Disaster. Game over.
Exactly. how many Jerseys could you fit in Lincolnshire? Is it about the same? I think probably...
We're 45 square miles. 45 square miles.
So, we're a lot bigger.
Yeah, I think probably about 4 or 5 Jerseys could comfortably fit into Jersey, into Lincolnshire. The whole system. As I said, Anna, we are looking to obviously do a location report in Jersey. In fact, I'm just putting in my new passport application form, which should either get me arrested or sort of get me through in some way, shape, or form to look towards this. So I think, you know, if we can't do it 2014, certainly 2015, we'll be going for that. Have you ever been to Jersey, Mazda?
No, I was just thinking, like, what is it like? Is it cliffy?
Cliffy?
Yeah, the north coast is very cliffy. And the south coast is undulating and not so cliffy.
But the north coast is quite dangerous. I've heard it said every time you go to the north coast, it's, we're all going on a summer holiday. All sorts of hilarious. All right, there are one or two people who might appreciate the line that I was getting into there, but what the heck. Anyway, any other questions you want to put to Anna Lewis Musner?
When's the best time of year to go to Jersey?
To be quite honest, it's August. It's a little bit more crowded, but the weather's more or less guaranteed to be reasonable. The beaches are lovely. They're not altogether that crowded either. I'd say August. I mean, April and May are quite nice, but again, you just can't guarantee the weather. I think end of July, beginning of August is a safe bet.
Super. Maybe I'll go down this August.
Are there little birds tweeting in the background there, Anna? Or am I just hallucinating?
That's my battery gar. When you had that song, Love Is In The Air, he just went off on one. I'll tell you what, he likes Rhinestone Cowboy.
Really?
He loves Dolly Parton. It's my budgie. He's just completely insane.
Let's just see if we've got a little bit of Rhinestone Cowboy, because I feel as though, you know, clearly the budgie market is one which we haven't developed as such. So, you know, I can see another whole area in which the show can be developed here.
We have a big budgie fancier in Lincolnshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Do you remember Jeff Capes?
Of course.
The strong man? He's a
ex-police officer.
Yeah.
He used to
be the world's strongest man. Yeah. And
then he thought, I'm just going to hang up my weights and go into budgies.
Budgie fans. Yeah.
Budgie fans.
Yeah, apparently.
What an interesting.
He's very, very big in budgies. That sounded wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Just a little bit.
He has a major following in the budgerigar world.
That's the fella.
That's
just as well, we kept this apart from the existential feline cat themes we were talking about last week, because Fuzz Aldrin, if he was on Phil Linus's lap, who knows what could happen.
We've got Dr. Katz on in a bit.
We do have Dr. Katz.
God.
We do indeed. Tragically, Anna, we've got All I Have to Do Is Dream, Galveston, Wichita Lineman, By the Time I Get to Phoenix. No, as yet, Mr. Computer, no Glen Campbell singing Rhinestone Cowboy. But would he go for Wichita Lineman, or would he like New York City, I'm Doing Fine Now?
I think the first one, that's fine. Yeah, he'd like that.
And what's the budgie's name?
His name's Grayson.
Grayson. Named after Dick, Grayson. Perhaps?
Well, Grayson Perry, actually.
Ah.
The artist.
Well, I was thinking Dick Grayson, the alter Bruce Wayne's ward.
I was thinking Larry Grayson.
Of course.
Larry Grayson, yes.
Shut that cage door.
Yeah. Or shut that door.
Mazda, I'd be amazed if you ever knew.
I have no idea what you're talking about again.
that's why Phil Lewis said, give Mazda her own show. We're talking about it. You'll get her on food and all sorts of things. Yes, a splendid time. But before we go into Wichita Lineman, what are the last two questions we need to put to Anna Lewis, please? Tarina. she had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat. Is she coming back again?
Oh, sorry. have you had a reasonable telephonic chat?
Oh, yes, I have. Thank you.
And would you like to come back in the future?
I will. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Here's one for Grayson.
Okay, thank you. Bye. I am a lineman for...